this form or printed form, pull it out. Even though the verses will be projected behind me, I want you to know right where we're at as we continue in 1 Thessalonians. We've been walking through that, and we're going to continue. Have you ever felt like, okay, so now what? Ever felt like that? Yeah. Maybe you felt like that after, like, things just didn't come together. You heard some perplexing news, or maybe it was even after something that teaching that you heard that was just like, okay, what do I do with that? What do I do now? And the folks there in the city of Thessalonica and the church there, and they probably had that same kind of feeling. They'd gotten this letter from the Apostle Paul, and they had heard it, and they'd heard some of his teaching. He had been gone for some time after he founded the church, and they had heard in his letter, and they'd heard from while he was there teaching about things like about sexual purity. They'd heard about the return of the Lord. They'd heard about all different dealing with people that had ulterior motives, and so they were probably thinking, okay, so now what? And the Apostle Paul, realizing that some of the stuff that he had, and this was kind of his MO, after he deals with some heavy kinds of stuff, he almost always turns to the very practical. And you'll find that at the end of his letters, he gets very practical. And so today in chapter 5, you know, starting at verse 12, we're going to find out he gets really, really practical. And so let's pick it up right there. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strives to be kind to each other and everyone else. And don't you love this? Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Now, I mean to tell you, there's a lot there. That's a lot. And what appears to be kind of a loose collection of little pithy statements, really, I'm going to take and develop into four basic thoughts all around the word life and how to have effective life as it relates to being in church life. You know, these things still very much apply to a church like ours, separated by culture and distance and time. And it's interesting, and I'm going to use life as kind of an acronym, and I'm going to use the first letter, L, to say live with leaders. Look at verses 12 and 13 with me. We don't really know all the details that are going on here, but maybe the kind of between the lines unspoken scenario that's happening here is that there could have been a group of people that, you know, they needed a little encouragement to listen to their leaders, because some of them were just sitting around thinking that the rapture was going to take place at any particular time. And he's saying to the church, hey, there's some leaders there, and I expect you to follow their guidance and their leadership. Paul knew that the persecution, the difficulty, the questions about the Lord's coming and the confusion that was resulting there and people's misunderstanding could make some of their lives very difficult. And it could make life together in that church very, very difficult. So he encourages people to really listen and to esteem and honor the leaders that are there. And in this, this is probably the first letter that Paul wrote, probably 45 AD is when he wrote it. And so it's one of the earliest letters. And so we get a little lesson in church leadership as he's kind of developing that in some other places and other letters. But what he's looking at, creating a church that's worthy of respect and leaders that are worthy of respect as well. So let's look at what he says here. The very first thing is, he says, honor those that work hard. Honor those that work hard. Now, I'll tell you this. For every lazy person in ministry, whether it's full-time ministry or, you know, ministry, you know, volunteer ministry in a church. I mean, for every lazy person, I'll give you 100 people that are working extremely hard. The typical pastor is 55 to 70 hours plus a week, typically. For every lazy pastor, you'll find, I'll give you 100 that are burning it every week, you know. True ministry, I don't care whether it's like professional ministry or whether it's volunteer ministry in the church, it can be tough. It can be tough. Often ministry requires, leadership in the church requires a variety of skills. everything from business decisions to trying to understand biblical text to understanding perplexing situations. And I mean, it's a for most spiritual leaders, and I'm going to take the curtain, I'm going to pull it back for just a moment for you. What many people in full-time ministry live with. So it's the challenge of living 24/7, 365. That's the challenge that many in ministry live with. I mean, it requires the constant temptation. I'm going to be very honest with you here for just a moment. Many pastors today would quit the ministry if they had some other way of support. It's turned into something that difficult and that discouraging for many pastors. That's why you need to pray for them. Not only this one, but any pastor you know, pray for them. There's a constant temptation, and this comes through spiritual resistance and difficulty, and often being paid at levels that are unbelievably low for a lot of them. Thankfully, not this one. But there's an incredible temptation for them to quit. They're called to live an exemplary life. There's relentless expectations, a never-ending schedule, and you know what? And just a plethora of difficult situations that sometimes defy explanation, let alone resolution. The typical pastor lives in a world where he has to be gentle and tough all the time. Gentle and tough. And whether it's full-time or whether it's a lay leader, in a church, I mean, it's nothing about being elevated to a place where you're pampered with all kinds of privileges and special treatment. No, real ministry is hard work. It's servanthood. It's servanthood. When young couples, and many pastors do this, when young couples or a young man or a young woman comes to a pastor and says, I believe God's called me into full-time ministry, I can tell you what my reaction is. This is my reaction. Run. Don't do it. Run as fast as you can and don't do it. You're saying, what? I figure if I can scare them off that easy, they're not called. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. I'm thrilled. I can scare them off that easy. They're not called or equipped. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. And the Apostle Paul says to recognize and to honor those, especially those that are in a church that are, they're not quote-unquote paid by the church. They're not quote-unquote on staff. But they're pouring out all kinds of hours. They're serving and giving. And there's so many people around here that pour out hours for this place. And they don't get a dime from the church in the way of compensation. That kind of person deserves honor and respect. Amen? Amen. They deserve it. They deserve it. I mean, honor those that are over you. Leaders, I'll never forget. I'm pulling the curtain back on this. I was going through an exceptionally difficult time many years ago, and I said something to my brother, one of my brothers, and my brother, in a typical brother fashion, he goes, he said to me very abruptly, he said, you asked for this job. I looked at him, I said, no, I didn't. I didn't ask for this job. He goes, oh yeah, that's right, you didn't. This is a calling. It's a calling. And with that calling, God gives you an authority and a responsibility. And you know what? For every person that misuses it is another person that's struggling to use it, or 10 people that are struggling to use it wisely and properly. This isn't about some kind of power trip. It's a God-given authority and power, not to control people, but to guide the work of God the way God intends in that body to fulfill God's purposes for that place at that time. And I don't care if it's in a classroom or on this platform. It doesn't matter. It's a God-given responsibility. And, we have a responsibility to honor those who have that authority over us. Through the years, this church is part of the Assemblies of God. I have a boss. Not Jesus, although he's like the big boss. But I have a boss. I have somebody that can sail in here, and he, although it's somewhat limited control, he can come in here and talk to me pretty stiffly, and I've had that happen. And you know what? There's a temptation to simply say, skip you guys, I don't need to listen to you. I've never done that. I purposely kept myself under the authority, and I've honored those who've had leadership over me, although sometimes they've driven me to the point of insanity. Because I recognize the wisdom of honoring those who God has put over you for your own safety and your own benefit. That's what I've done. Tried to honor those that are over me. I have somebody that's over me. He and I, our personalities couldn't be anything more than this. I mean, we are just... And I've known him for over 30 years, and it's always been like that. It's always been like that. And I just have made a decision. I'm going to honor him no matter what, because that's what God expects of me. Amen? Honor those over you. Honor those over you. Honor those who admonish you. Look at what he says here. I mean, there's some stuff going on in that church, and there's always stuff going on. You know, here's another pull back the curtain on pastor talk. You know, pastors often say, "Well, how's it going?" You know, it's interesting how pastors respond to that question. Here's my standard response. I say, "Well, you know what? In the church, you've always got the good, the bad, and the ugly. As long as you've got more good than bad and ugly, you're probably okay." Because that's always going on. In any church, there's always something. That's just life. That's how it happens. And in the church there, they had some ugly stuff going on. They had some tough stuff going on. And the leaders were given the responsibility of admonishing. Admonishing is an interesting word. It means instructing. It means encouraging. It means correcting. It means like to get in your face. Admonish. To admonish. It's not a harsh word, but it's a strong word. And leaders have an uncomfortable responsibility of correcting people. And you know what? We live in a culture where nobody wants to be corrected. Everybody wants to be free to do what they want when they want it. Would that work anywhere? Does that work down on the base? Does that work at Electric Boat? At Pfizer? Doesn't work anywhere. No. And leaders have a responsibility to admonish, you know, to warn, to correct, to instruct. And often, sometimes, we don't like it. I have been corrected many times. Do I like that? No. Do I recognize the value of it? Yes. And leaders have a responsibility. If you're going to a church, whether it's this one or some other church, and there's never any kind of correction, whether it's coming from the pulpit or one-on-one leadership, if that is not happening, that is a dangerous church, because the standard is anything you want, just do it. Don't be part of that church, because they don't love you enough to correct you. Right? Hang on. Why is our world filled with bratty kids? Because we have parents that are too afraid to correct them. Too afraid to say no to them. Might hurt their little spirits. Some of their spirits need to be hurt. Right? It's true. You ain't going to kill your kid if you say, "No, you can't do that. No, you can't have that." If you don't, you're going to teach them that they can grow up in a very unrealistic world where they can have anything and do it. And that's not reality. Have you discovered that? That's not in the notes. That was free. All right. Honor those that admonish you. You know, you want to help your kid be a good Christian? It starts right now in your home, teaching them to follow your leadership. If they don't follow your leadership, they're certainly not going to follow mine. That was also free. All right. Many times leaders don't like that. I mean, they don't like the kind of reaction they're going to get. You know what? I mean, good night. Many times, you know what? I'm just being very candid with you today, being very open. There are times, you know, there are times where as pastors and leaders, you have to bring correction. You know what? Not for one moment does the typical pastor, unless he's got some sort of, you know, psychological bent, does he enjoy that. But it's part of the role of bringing correction and guidance and for the best of the kingdom. If it's done as long as it's done with a spirit of wisdom, humility, and meekness, it's a good thing. Whenever it's done as a power trip, it's wrong. It's wrong. I don't care. Even if it's the right thing, done in the wrong spirit, it's still wrong. Now, you know, through the years, I've had to bring various levels of correction. It's not because I'm better than you or anything. I know I've got a responsibility under God. I have to give an account. I will stand before God and give an account for your soul, according to Hebrews. I will. I take that pretty seriously. So, Through the years, I've had to do that. I've had various people. I can remember, and I won't go into details, as many years ago, there was somebody that was doing something that was just like really difficult, disruptive. And I said, wait a minute, instead of doing it like this, how about do it like this? They got so wounded and so offended, they left the church and had never been back. There's a word for that: immaturity. That's immature. It's immature. I'm not speaking to any particular situations right now at Seaport that at least I'm aware of. You know, this is right in my notes. This is where we're flowing through. Notice the fourth thing that he says. He says, live in peace with each other. Live in peace. Now, I don't know what your world is like, but maybe this has happened. I know that it can happen. You just come home from work, you're met at the door with "here," and there's a screaming something thrown right into your face. And you say, "I need a mental health break, I'm out of here." Maybe you've met with, you know what? "I'm going out, you take care of these, your monsters." You know? Well, for them, it's probably been a day of, "Stop touching me! They won't share! Can I have another one?" No, you've had 10. No. You know, "Would you read that story again?" No, we've read it 4 times today, sweetheart. You know, it's been one of those kind of days, like, really? Really? 5 diapers in one day? Are you kidding me? You know what? "Another juice?" No, you've had more than enough juice, okay? "No, I'm going to run away! You don't love me anymore!" It's been one of them days. And you thought you were coming home to this peaceful castle. Okay. You know? And you stand there and you go, "Will they ever outgrow this stage?" Yeah. You say, what does that have to do with church life? Want to know? I've said this before in all humor. I used to wonder why in the Bible it so often refers to us Christians as the children of God. I figured it out one day. Because we act like kids so often. Me too, not you. Me, you, all of us do. You know? I mean, how many times have you said to your kids, "Stop driving me crazy with all this petty fighting and bickering"? You know? "Can't you just make my life easier and just do what I ask you to do?" How many of you have said that? Do you know that church conflict is one of the top reasons why pastors leave churches and ministry early? Because they just can't take the wear. One pastor said, most pastors, and thankfully not this one, because I won't go there with you, frankly. You know, one pastor said the reason a lot of pastors quit is because they don't really wear a clerical collar. You know, the funny collar that I don't wear one of those, but they don't wear one of those. They wear a referee shirt because they're always reffing between people. And wears out a lot of pastors. If you got a problem with somebody in this church, let me just tell you how it'll fly if it comes to me. Want to know? This is how it flies. I believe in Matthew 18, very clearly. If you had a problem with somebody and you want to get the big kahuna on your side, ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. I'm going to say, well, I'll tell you what you do. Bible says you go to that person privately and you straighten it out with them. Now, if you can't do that, then there's some additional steps, and we'll help you in that process with that. But don't you come to me until you have done the biblical thing and gone to that person and straightened it out with them, if at all possible. Amen? Amen. Kills churches.
"I'm not going to do it because it won't do any good."
How do you know? We're all prideful and arrogant and weird and fearful and don't do it. Well, the Bible says this is what you do. And if you're not willing to do it, then it's not going to get resolved. "Well, they should just come to me." Well, how do they know? Boy, I've had people come to me. I've had some of you come to me. And, oh, Pastor, you really offended me with what you did and what you said. I'm like, wow, really? I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Now, I'm so grateful that you came and talked to me and not somebody else. Amen? Amen? Don't you go talk to somebody else and get wisdom. That's just gossip. This is how I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. Help me with what I'm saying because I'm afraid of what I might say. I don't know if he's helped me or not yet, but I guess we'll find out. Anyway, do you see the point in all of that? Live with leaders. Let's live at peace with each other. Amen? Amen? We live in a culture where everybody wants to be offended at everything. Really? I could be offended 10 times every day. And I, you know what? I just choose not to be. I just, frankly, I don't have time for offense. Half the time I just say, well, whatever, man, I got to deal with it. Other times I go, okay, I got to go straighten this out. But don't wallow in being offended all the time. I'm so offended. Oh, shut up. Okay, I probably should repent for saying that. I probably should have said, oh, grow up. But I mean, you know what I'm saying there. I mean, really? You know, if you got offended, I said, shut up. Well, forgive me. Anyway, let's go on here. What time is it? Yeah, it's 10:24. Well, I don't have much time. Okay. Well, it's actually 11:24, not 10:24. I'm already in the wrong time zone. I haven't even left for India yet. Wow. I knew I wouldn't get through all this message. Oh, I only went through 1.4 so far. Wow, that's bad. Well, we'll see what we can do with 2, and then we'll wrap up. All right. L, live with leaders. I, and you've already heard this, and it was just a God timing on this. It wasn't sit down and plan a staff meeting. I stands for involve yourself with others. Look at verses 14 and 15. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Now that's an agenda. Wow, that's an agenda right there. You know? And that'll keep you so busy you don't have time to be offended. I mean, wow, look at all that. You know? I mean, interestingly, you know, our culture has put a big emphasis upon, you know, finding ourselves and, you know, fulfilling ourselves and spending all of our time on ourselves. And that is so unchristian. It's unbelievable. So, you know, and the Apostle Paul says, involve yourself with others. And look at this agenda. He says that we have the responsibility of, number one, warning the idle. Now, what does that mean, really? In that particular context, it was almost like communal living there, wasn't it? It was almost like a commune, but not quite, in early Christianity. And a lot of those folks were like, Jesus is coming back really soon. I don't have to work. I'm just going to hang out and mooch off of you. The Apostle Paul says, that's why he says, if you don't work, you don't eat. I love that. I've quoted that to some folks through the years too. Don't work, don't eat. That solves that problem. You know? I know somebody's saying, wow, that's kind of rough. Well, it is kind of rough, but it is reality. You know, warning the eye. So what's Paul talking about? He's simply saying, you know, there's a lot of you that are just mooching off people, mooching off fellow Christians. He said, that's not the thing to do. And the old adage is still true, but the Apostle Paul didn't say that. And I don't know who actually said it, but idle hands are the devil's workshop. You know, he simply says, warn those who are idle. Warn those who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know? It's not quite the same thing, but you know what? I'd like to say to you, there are some of you that are quote-unquote idle. I-D-L-E. You come to church, but you're not involved in anything, really. Or you think you're doing God a big favor by working once a month on some ministry. Let me just say this. If your involvement around here, outside coming to church, if your involvement in ministry and preparation is less time than what you spend on, in the course of a month, is less time than what you spend watching TV in one night, I think your priorities need a little readjustment. Right? Really, you're not doing amazing things for the kingdom of God serving once a month. I got to tell you, I'm going to bring you back to reality. That's not like amazing stuff. It's great. We're glad that you do it. And you may be in a place in life where that's a stretch for you. We get that. But you know what? I'm going to warn some of you that are idle, so to speak, here. You know, there's a lot of ministry that needs to take place here. We can't do it without you. We don't make people mysteriously appear. I don't beam somebody in from another planet to serve in a classroom. You know, some of us are idle. And that mentality that somebody's going to do it for me, and I'm just going to, this is one of the reasons that the American church is in death. It is in a death spiral, frankly, the American church. Part of it is the consumer mentality that says, I'm going to come to a great church, I'm going to be ministered to a church that blesses me, makes me feel comfortable, it's got everything going, and it blesses me, and I can throw $2 in the offering plate, and that's a good thing. You know what? That kind of attitude will kill the church. Right? Because basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to mooch and get a free ride off the kingdom. Somebody say, well, I picked the wrong Sunday to come to this church. Wow! I was looking for the warm, fuzzy church. Warn the idol. Better move on before I get in trouble. Probably already am in trouble. I already gave you my contact information up here at the beginning of the service. So you know how to contact me. I'm going to India, so I won't see it anyway. But somebody say, yeah, I know what you're doing. You're just hitting it and running. No, it's just how it flowed out here in the order of services. I mean, as we're walking through this text here. Okay, let's wrap this thing up here. I'm going to kind of give these to you in bullets here. Encourage the timid. Encourage the timid. There were some people that they would come to church like this, thinking they missed the rapture of the church. The Lord had come. They left it, and they were terrified of what was going to happen to them. And you know what? There's always people in the church that are apprehensive. There are always people that are afraid. And you know what? If you're a mature believer, it is your job to encourage the timid. Encourage the timid. There are always those that are struggling, you know, and fearful about stuff. You know, don't say, and we're all tempted to like, you know, build a bridge and get over it. Well, that's not helpful. It's just not helpful, you know? Have doubts and fears about what's happening with them. Encourage them. Encourage them and help them. Help the weak. Help the weak. Now, nobody, you know, if I said, how many of you here are weak? Probably no hand would go up. No, we don't want to be characterized as weak. But every church has people that are weak. And that's a Bible word that means, you know, we're struggling with some sin issue. Or we're, you know, we're really wrestling. We can't, you know, we seem to always be falling backwards. Or, you know, or we just can't seem to get it and make progress. Or, you know, the church always has somebody that's weak, that's always needing, you know, a hand up. There's always somebody needing some additional. That's just church life, okay? Our job is, if God has given you strength and stamina and ability, your job is to help the weak. And don't make a big deal out of it either. Amen? Just bless them, help them, encourage them, and go on. Amen? And here's another thing. The Bible is very clear. If you see a need and you have the ability to answer it, it's up to you to answer it. Don't send me an email to the church office, oh, you know, somebody's got a need, when you have the ability to meet it. If you've got the ability to meet it, you meet it. If you don't, bring it to our attention and we'll help them. Help the weak. Amen? A couple more thoughts and then we probably had enough for one day. Be patient with everyone. How many of you like it when people are patient and understanding with you? Wow, half of you didn't put your hands up. Wow, okay. That's going to be interesting. I think you meant to put your hands up. Okay, let's try it again. Maybe you didn't understand the question. How many of you like it when people are patient and understanding with you, especially when you're going through a tough time? Some of you still didn't put your hand up. Wow, okay. Okay, it's just how you roll. But most of us, I mean, even me, I don't like it when somebody just like, they're not paying attention to cut my head off. I'm like, can we just like time out before you cut my head off? So, no. We will be patient with everyone. Be patient. Be patient. You know, I have 25 years. I can look back at ministry here in this church, and I can think of a lot of times where you guys were very patient with me trying to figure this thing out, and still are many times. And I've been grateful for the patience that you've displayed toward me. And I, in turn, want to be patient with you. And just understanding that, you know what, we don't all roll the same way. And some of us are quick to get it, and some of us are like really slow to get it. And some of us need more time than others. And just understand, be patient. Be patient. You know, that doesn't mean it goes on forever. You know? And make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. That's really an interesting statement that I don't have any time to develop that really. But you know what, that's one of the things that it's saying there is this, is that do your best when somebody is talking revenge and getting back at somebody, do your best to intercept that and to stop it and keep somebody from paying back wrong for wrong. You know, sometimes we just take the responsibility, like, we take the action, like, that's not my problem, that's not my responsibility. In the body of Christ, it becomes our responsibility when we see somebody, a fellow Christian, who's been wounded and who's hurt and who's talking all kinds of ideas and thinking all kinds of ideas about how they're going to get revenge. It's your job, it's my job, it's all of our jobs to jump in there and go. Notice it didn't say just pastors do this. It doesn't say that. It said jump in there and stop that person, if at all possible, from committing revenge. Here's the last thought. Maybe Pastor Dave will be at the helm here next week, next couple of weeks. I told him, be prepared for Sunday the 18th. I'm due to come back on the 16th, but you never quite know. You just never know. I said, I do intend to come back. Eventually. But I have this strange ability to go to foreign countries and get stuck there. It's a weird gift. Anyway, don't ask God for it. You don't want it. But anyway, and lastly, express kindness at all times. Kindness to each other. Kindness to people outside the body. You know, were your words to people this week kind and gracious? I can think of once I failed miserably at this, you know, this week. I said, oh, man, it was bad, you know. But look, you know what? Let's be involved with each other. Express kindness at all times. I guess here's the big test as I close. I'm only going halfway through the message. I guess the big question is, can you be incredibly kind with people you think you'll never see again? Whether they're on the phone or, you know, like the guy last night in the parking lot that did this to me. I'm like, I want to go, dude, you pulled right in front of me, dude. No signal, nothing. Just, you know. Okay, in my brain I go, okay, am I a Christian, a pastor, unsanctified biker? What am I right now? Well, stand with me as we close. There's a lot there. It's probably good that you only got half the dosage. We'll get to the rest of it. As we close, I really encourage you, please this week. I mean, I'm excited about Wednesday night and the teaching that as the series continues. Pastor Dave is not here, but the series will continue. And really the focus on Wednesday night, and it'll be part of a video play, is really significant for those of us that are praying for, you know, for our one-to-one. It's really about praying for those that aren't Christians and how really to do that. And it's some of the most insightful teaching that you'll get on praying for people that don't know the Lord. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. You know. And, you know, I'll be here. We'll share a couple of updates with you as well. But we'll go on from there. But continue to pray this week. As we close, if you know, we have a group of people that are going to come forward as we sing, and they're going to come. And if you need prayer for any reason, come and receive that. If you've never invited Christ to come into your life, look on the back of the bulletin. There's 5 steps. And any one of these folks can help you come into relationship with the Lord and see your life begin to really change from the inside out. Okay? But if you need prayer for any reason, those guys will be here to pray with you, for you, and everything's confidential. Anyway, but let's take a moment as we're closing. Lord, help us. We want to live with leaders and understand the role that leaders have in your church. And God, we want to be involved and step in and do what you've called us to do as well. And God, whether that could mean teaching a Sunday school classroom, but it just means just day-to-day interaction with each other as well. Help us, oh God, just to honor you with all that we do and all that we say. So just pour your grace and your strength. Just to simply say, Lord, give me grace to live your word. Just say that right now. Lord, just give me your grace, your strength to live out your word. Thanks, Lord. Let's sing this and then we'll close and go on our way. What are we singing, Derek?
I need you more.
And you know what? Pray for Pastor Debbie. She's not leading worship. I asked Derek yesterday afternoon because she's just had some real physical challenges. So pray for her, okay? And we'll do that as we close. Let's sing. If you need prayer, come and receive it.
More than yesterday,
let's sing it. Come on, sing it with us.
More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Sing it again.
I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat. I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more. Next heartbeat, more than anything, and long as time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more. Thank you. give you. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise, Jesus. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise.
Not a day that goes by that we don't need you to give us grace and strength. And so today and tomorrow and all this week, give us grace and strength, God, that our life could be an expression of praise to you in every way. May your hand be upon us even now, Lord, as we go. Thanks, Father. Amen. Bless you guys. Amen. Hang out. Come for prayer. Take off. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Be with us Wednesday night. Hallelujah. God bless you.